How many know the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same? I want you to realize this very clearly, that all of Scripture is given for us, profitable to us, that we might learn, that we might grow. Nothing in Scripture. Listen, if you don't believe that the Holy Ghost is for today, you should take the book of Acts, tear it out of your Bible, and get rid of it. Amen? If you don't believe it's for today, then what's the point of it being in the Word of God? If the Holy Ghost isn't for today, then we don't need Acts chapter 2. We don't need Acts chapter 10 where Cornelius is filled. We don't need the conversion of Paul where he receives the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost in Acts 13 is sent out in the mission field by the Holy Ghost. We don't need Acts chapter 19 where the children of Ephesus receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't need these things. If the Holy Ghost is not for today, just tear it out and move on. We might as well go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 and tear those out too, if the Holy Ghost is not for you today. But you see, the truth of the matter is that the Holy Ghost of Acts is the same. So what changes? We do. We do. Amen? I'm going to just speak very clearly and candidly tonight on why some have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. Why some have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. As I said, if you don't believe in Acts, if you don't believe in the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is not for today, then the book of Acts is literally pointless to you. Because the book of Acts was named Acts because they said it's the Acts of the Apostles. But if you truly search the book of Acts, it's not about the apostles. It's about the acts of the Holy Spirit. It's about the acts of the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't do anything without the direction and the leading of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them." The Holy Ghost sent them, not the people. It wasn't a commission from Paul. He didn't just feel some desire, but the Holy Ghost spoke and sent them. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus commanded the disciples to wait for the Holy Ghost. Acts is full of what the Holy Ghost is doing, how he moves in people's lives, how he changes people, and how he performs miracles and is supposed to be at work in the church, in all the church today. So if you don't believe it, you might as well just tear the book of Acts out of your Bible, throw it away because it's pointless. You might as well tear 1 Corinthians 13, 12, 13, and 14, tear it out because it's pointless to you. You might as well go to Ephesians 5, 2, because in Ephesians it says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You might as well tear that out, throw it on aside. You might as well tear out the part where it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." That's in Ephesians chapter 4. Go tear that out of your Bible because you don't need that either. If you don't believe it's for you, if you don't believe that it's for today, then so many scriptures do not apply to your life. And a lot of the Bible is nothing more than just good suggestions. And the Bible's not a suggestion. It is literally your life source, church. It's your life source. And I believe today we need to take very seriously our need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to make clear that I'm not talking about being sealed. There are two different words. The Bible says you've been sealed with the Holy Ghost, and it also says you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And in chapter 5, Paul says you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul uses two words in the same book, and they have different meanings. The point is that the church today needs to be filled, not partially, not a little bit, not just a touch, completely immersed, completely full of the Holy Ghost today. And not just those that are seeking for the first time, but even those who have received the Holy Ghost before. I noticed today that the greatest tragedy today is that people who once were filled are not remaining filled. And we get this concept from Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The word to be filled is continually, a continuing filling. Now, do you notice that every time in the book of Acts that the Holy Ghost fell, that believers were there to receive again? They were there to receive again. When Cornelius, the baptism fell, Peter was there and he said, wow, I'm amazed that the Holy Ghost fell on an Italian man just like he fell in the book of Acts. And here in Ephesus, the men did not even know there was any such thing as the Holy Ghost. I believe, think about it, how this answers the question for us. How important did Paul think being filled with the Holy Ghost is? How important that when he found men that were believers, disciples, he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He asked him that question because it's important to Paul that you be filled. It's important to him. So he asked the question, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? They said, we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. They didn't know all the blessings of the Holy Ghost. Acts, why? Because they're in the upper coast of Ephesus. They only got baptized under John's baptism unto repentance. So they didn't know fully what had been taking place until Paul came their way. Listen, you cannot claim ignorance anymore. I'm telling you the truth. God wants you full of the Holy Ghost. He don't want you partly. He wants you wholly filled. He don't want you to come in here to this house without being filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are filled with the Spirit of God operate on a different plane. They have a different mindset. They work off different orders. They're not operating by the flesh, but they're operating in the Spirit of God. The Bible says if we live by the Spirit, we will never fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the church needs to be full of the Spirit of God again. King Josiah realized the importance and realized his own neglect. King Josiah, he was 8 years old when he started reigning. 18 years he reigned when he finally sent someone into the temple of God. He sent men into the temple of God and they came out. They found the book of the law. He was 26 years old when they came and they brought the book of the law to him. He hadn't been following anything God had said. He wasn't doing anything that the Word of God said. And when they read the book of the law to King Josiah, the Bible said he rent his clothes and he wept before God, realizing that he had neglected the very things of God's Word. Church, understand, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost at one time and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost as you should be today, you are doing the very thing that King Josiah did in that day, neglecting God's Word in application in your life. You cannot neglect this word, and you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. The greatest problem today is spiritual neglect. Many Christians are not filled, or they are not continuing to be filled because they neglect their spiritual life. They neglect the passions and the desires they need to have to serve God. They neglect the things that they need to do, the duties. Listen, Christian, God didn't call you to sit on a church pew. He didn't call you to just be a lump on a log. You have duties to do as a Christian. You have daily devotions you need to do as a Christian. I know that ain't popular preaching today. Everybody wants easy believism. Just tell me how easy it is. Tell me that I don't have to do anything. Let me tell you something. I have to break the news to you. But you have been enlisted as a soldier into Christ's army, and you're going to face hard times. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to face tests. You're going to face trials. You're going to go up. You're going to go down. There's going to be moments of grieving. There's going to be times of heartache. There's going to be all kinds of situations that come your way. And don't you want to be Holy Ghost filled when those moments come? Now let me be candid. Let me be straight. I got 5 reasons why people don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Number 1, doubt. Doubt. Doubt is the greatest hindrance to all success. It doesn't matter in what you doubt in. If you doubt your abilities for a job, you will more than likely fail at that job. If you doubt your abilities to accomplish a task, you will more than likely have a hard time accomplishing that task, because doubt is the greatest hindrance to accomplishing anything in your life. And as a Christian, if you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, you cannot doubt that God wants to fill you, or that God will fill you, or that you doubt that it's for today. You have to come to the realization that it is for today and that God wants to fill you. Don't doubt that God doesn't, because he does. He said, it's not, the promise is for you, your children, and to them that are afar off. Acts chapter 2 tells us that it's not just for the Pentecostal preacher. It's not just for brother and sister so-and-so. It's not just a gift that only a few get, but it's a gift for all. Paul said, I would that you all spoke in tongues. Why? Because people had not been seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you try to achieve a goal and doubt, and you doubt that you can, you're defeated before you ever start. For 9 long years, the record for the mile, for running a mile, was over 4 minutes for 9 years. 4 minutes 1 second was the best time that could be done. For 9 years, nobody believed. They called it the impossible task. The impossible goal to achieve was to get under 4 minutes. Finally, 9 years later, a man got 3 minutes and 59 seconds when he ran that mile. 9 years later. You know what happened after that man ran the mile in 3 minutes, 59 seconds? A floodgate opened. All of a sudden, 26 runners ran the mile in under 4 minutes, completely destroying the record. Over 66 times they ran that mile in under 4 minutes. You know what the greatest hindrance was? People put in doubt. People put in doubt. Everybody could have done it. They had the abilities. They could have trained. They could have done it. But doubt hindered them because they kept saying, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. What happens to believers when they hear constantly, it's not for today. It's not for today. They get in this mind that, well, hey, maybe I shouldn't seek. Maybe I shouldn't receive it. But understand that doubt was a trick of the enemy. The whole book is for you, brother. The whole Bible is for you, brother. It's not just for your neighbor. It's not just for the past, but it's for you. The Bible is good for you, just like it was good for Peter, just like it was good for Paul. It is good for you as well. Doubt will hinder. Once the myth of the impossible vanishes, victory comes. You have to get rid of doubt so you can achieve what the enemy is telling you is impossible. Doubt is the opposite of expectancy. If you didn't come in here expecting God to move, you either just did not dwell on the fact of why you were coming, or you doubt that God would even be here to meet you. And I promise you that if you came in here with that kind of attitude, God did not meet you today. I promise you. God expects his people to come with the expectancy that he's here. So many people blame everybody else for why they ain't receiving nothing from God. It isn't my fault you don't get nothing from the Lord. You hear this preacher tonight. I know I'm being candid. I've heard for many years as a pastor, well, if that preacher would preach more on the Holy Ghost, I've been preaching on the Holy Ghost for about 3 weeks now, and some of you haven't even darkened the altars yet. Oh, I know, that's tough, preacher. Well, I told you I was going to be candid. Well, I don't understand why I don't feel the Spirit of God. Maybe you need to get in there to feel it. Maybe you came with the attitude, I've got doubt the preacher can move me. And maybe that's how you came. And maybe that's why you don't receive. Many Christians do this. They get in this mentality and they play the blame game. It's nobody else's fault why you don't receive. I want you to understand that. Nobody else's fault why you don't receive. I am not going to be there on the judgment day. And you're not going to be able to point the finger at Pastor Bruce and say, Pastor Bruce didn't allow me to move in the Spirit. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It really is, because I want you to operate in the Spirit, but I also know that when you come in this corporate body, you better do it in the right spirit. Amen? Now, that's a whole other message. I ain't got time to go there, but one day I'll get there. But you got to understand that there is doubt that the enemy puts in our minds, and that doubt is one of the number one causes for why Christians do not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number two, I'll be quick. I'm trying to be quick. I told my wife I preached too long this morning. I felt like I did. Number two, you don't seek. You don't seek. I feel like I'm reiterating serious points, but I feel it's necessary. There's a couple points that I need to reiterate, because I need to drive them home. You know, it's like a carpenter. He don't leave the nail halfway out. He keeps hammering until he gets the nail in, because he needs it securely fastened. Otherwise, he can't move on to the next nail. And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm a carpenter nailing some things in your life that need to be secure. And if there's one thing I really want secure in your life, is that you have to maintain a life of seeking more of God. We have lost the desire to seek. We want it right now. We want it at this moment. We want it as quick as we can. God, give me the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost don't come in that second. And so we get up and say, well, it must not be for today. Some people don't get filled immediately. Some people do. I don't get it. I don't understand it all. I can't tell you that I do. But I know this. The Holy Ghost knows you better than you know yourself. And so he might be waiting for certain things. He might be working some certain things out. And it is vital for you that you seek God. Because if you expect God to fill you, then you won't stop seeking. When you stop seeking, you have lost expectancy. And you have filled your mind with doubt. And you quit. We have to seek. We have to seek. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. It doesn't say, just ask me once. Now, today's service to God is ridiculous. We say, God, fill me the Holy Ghost. He doesn't come. There must be a problem in heaven. I'm serious. That's how we act. Today they say, don't pray more than once. Don't admit you're sick. What kind of foolishness is this? Could you imagine Paul saying, hey, I didn't have a thorn in my flesh. There's a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. I prayed three times about it, he said. But today they tell you, don't pray more than once. And Paul said, I prayed three times that this thing would go away from me. Paul must not have had faith. But that's what they teach today. This is the philosophy. And it's crept into the Pentecostal church. And now we don't seek like we used to. We used to tarry in the altars. Come on, right? Didn't we tarry? How my old timers, you know what I'm talking about. You know we'd sit there and bask, waiting on the Holy Ghost. We didn't just get up from the altar, but we waited. God, where are you? And we waited till the wave came. We waited till, we call it the glory wave. It's like a wave. It just into the house of God. We waited for that moment. We waited for that fall. We waited for the power. We didn't just touch the altar, get up and move on about our business, but we stayed there. We tarried. We waited on God till he came. Church, we've got to come back to that. We can't stop seeking because we didn't find at that moment. Jesus gave us the parable about the woman who lost. She had 10 silver pieces. She lost one piece. Jesus said that she completely searched for it. She didn't quit till she found it. Understand, this is the philosophy Jesus is teaching when he's teaching about seeking. You don't quit until you find. Amen. You don't quit until you find. Until the moment you get full of the Holy Ghost, don't quit. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking. Every morning say, God, fill me once again. Fill me fresh and anew. Let the Holy Ghost be in my life. Let him guide my steps. God, fill me. It needs to be a passion in you. When you seek, it builds passion in you. The reason why we don't seek is we lack passion. And God knows that in our lives. I said, God knows that in our lives. Sometimes we're more passionate about some of the worldly things that mean nothing in life. And so little passion is spent on the things that matter so much. So little. So number one, you doubt. Number two, you don't seek. Number three, a bad lifestyle. I can tell you right now, I want you to pay attention closely to the word that describes the infilling power, the comforter. He's called the Holy Ghost. I want you to underline the word holy in your minds. The Holy Ghost don't feel unholy men. He only feels that which is set apart for the purpose of the Father. If you were to define holiness, holiness is the simple phrase, you could define it simply by saying separated. Are you holy to God? I said, are you holy to God? Because if you're not separated unto God, holy unto Him, for the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. What is he saying? He's saying, be a new creature. Be holy in God's sight. The Holy Ghost only feels holy men. I want to tell you right now, without fear of this world and without fear of offending you, that if you live a life of sin and you embrace habitual sins in your life, I can promise you that you more likely won't receive this. Now listen, that doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. I'm not preaching that you're going to be perfect, because if I did, I'd be lying to you. Amen? Holy Ghost is not, he will help you with your imperfections. Understand me. But I want you to be clear that the Holy Ghost will do proper maintenance in your life. The process of seeking is giving God the opportunity to do the proper maintenance for you to be a vessel that's separated unto God. Many people want the Holy Ghost so that they can speak in tongues, and that is foolish. Foolish! That's not what the Holy Ghost is about. It's not so you can get up and look, say, look, I am spiritual. I can speak in tongues. Well, pat yourself on the back and pin a rose on your nose. Amen. Congratulations. You can do a little, you know, I can teach you. Come up here and I'll jiggle your jaw until you get it. We can easily do the foolishness, but that's foolish. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has nothing really to do with speaking in tongues, but it's the power of speaking in tongues is really an edification for yourself. And I could get into that right now, but I don't have time, but I'm going to get to it later. I promise you I will come to that. But I want you to understand that speaking in tongues is not the major importance. It is that you might receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you might be my witnesses in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of this earth. God don't fill people who have no desire to be wholly set apart for his purpose. If all you want is to be spiritually prideful, you ain't going to get it. You might learn how to mimic it, but you ain't going to get it. The biggest problem with Pentecostal people, I'm just talking to my church today, so you just be with me, amen? Don't stone me. Biggest problem with Pentecostal people is spiritual pride. Because we are blessed. We don't preach a partial gospel. We've got the full stuff, baby. We got it. It is locked and loaded. Amen? I have got power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. Over all the powers of the enemy. I've got the blessings of God from on high. I can command devils and they flee from me. I can speak healing over sick bodies and they're healed. I've got power from on high. Not for my glory, but for the glory of God. Now the problem with Pentecostal people is they let power go to their head. And they think because they've got it, they can say a little prayer and God do a miracle, all of a sudden they got to start a ministry. Shake it again. Some people are going to fall out of it. When you start, can I give you a pet peeve of mine? It's not that I'm knocking the fact that God uses people in specific gifts. God does that. He uses people in specific gifts. In the gifts of healing, the Bible tells us that. In the gifts of prophecy and words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and tongues and the interpretation of tongues and all these things, the gifts are very evident in the Pentecostal church. But understand this, that when we take those gifts and we make them and we exalt them and make them a way of making money for us, we make them merchandise for us. Let me ask you a question. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself because I'm going to preach on the gifts of the Spirit as I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost, but I want you to understand this. Who receives the gift of healing when someone's healed? The person healed. The person healed receives the gift. I'm not the one with the gift if I lay my hands on you. You understand what I'm saying? We've got this thing backwards sometimes. We make this about us and not about God imparting. Listen, this is not about me. I cannot heal a fly from a headache. I can kill a fly if he's got a headache. But I can't heal him of it. Amen? Only God can do that. But Pentecostal people, they get prideful and they take the gifts and they say, look at me. They get a little talent and they say, I have a gift. This is why God takes weak things and confounds the wise. He takes the broken down, non-talented person and he exalts them, gives them talents because they know they didn't have it to begin with. Because people who have it, they get prideful and say, well, God, I'm a blessing to you. That's a bad lifestyle. That's pride. I was talking to my wife. I'm going to preach a message one day called It's Time to Trade. I'm going to trade my righteousness for his righteousness. I'm going to trade my burden for his burden. I'm going to trade my life for his life. I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put this life out. And my wife said, well, Jesus kind of gets the short end of the stick, don't he? I said, boy, he sure does. He suffers with me in this kingdom, I'm telling you. Amen? He suffers with you too. Amen? Don't look like I'm the only one up here that makes mistakes in this kingdom because I know I ain't. Amen? I know you joined me. We have nothing to offer. Not anything. The Bible says there is nothing good in you. Well, that is not positive preaching, Pastor. I want a positive message. Here it is. But Jesus is good. There's the positive point. You're not good, but Jesus is good. He saves you, he cleans you, he trades you his burden for your burden. Your burden's a heavy load of sin. He said, come learn of me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God doesn't give the Holy Ghost to people he cannot trust with this great gift. If your lifestyle is contrary to the things of God, God cannot trust you with such a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost is power to work for him, not power to push your propaganda, to make yourself big, or to be spiritually prideful. Only the humble folks receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Number four, I'm hurrying. One is doubt. Two is you quit seeking. Number three is a bad lifestyle. Number four, the fear of others. How many believers come to the house of God and they raise their hands and all they can think about is who's watching me? Who sees me? Who sees me? Understand this, there's some people who all they want to do is be seen. And so they make a show. Amen? The house of God is not for you to display yourself, nor is it a place for you to be concerned about what others think of you. We have to be careful from both extremes. Because church, understand that the devil will get you in either one of them. If he can get you out of the mind of God by making you a person who has to be seen by others, he's got you out of the mind of God. If he can get you out of the mind of God by making you more fearful about what others are thinking of you, he's got you out of the mind of God. What a trick. And isn't it clever? I said, isn't it clever how to get your mind so preoccupied on what others think of you? Listen, when the Holy Ghost falls on you, you may not look sober. Amen? You Holy Ghost filled people are all chuckling like, wait, it's coming. It's coming. You may not look sober. Remember what they said about the apostles in Acts chapter 2? They said, look, they're drunk. And Peter said, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Only depressed people drink at 9. We're not drunk at all. He says, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. They obviously displayed mannerisms that made them look tipsy. Obviously. Now, why is it that today the Pentecostal church is not experiencing such a move of the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you, one of the major reasons is fear of what other people think of them. People get shy. They become reserved. They become an introvert, if you will. They've been hurt by other people, so they don't come out in praise. They don't release in praise. And so they stay back in their shell, and they hide there. They hide there. And instead of being open and free, God, I'm here for you. God, I need you. Instead of opening the door, they shut in. And they close up. I want to tell you that when you close up and you shut in, you're literally blocking the Holy Ghost from coming down and going in. Because that's one of the tricks of the enemy. Get a believer to shut down and they'll receive nothing. They won't even receive positive words from someone who's trying to bless them. Amen? Listen, I've spoken positive words to people, trying to encourage them, trying to uplift them, and they were not uplifted because they were shut down. All they could do was be closed in because of the circumstance they were facing. I had to deal with the circumstance to try to open them up so that they could receive from God. I had to pry open the door for them to receive from God. Fear of what other people think stops people from allowing the Holy Ghost to fall. They'll start to shake. And they go, whoop. I got to put my hands down. I don't want people to see me shaking. I don't care if you see me shake. So there's got to be this release that says, God, I release the fear of others. And I say, yes, Lord, fall on me. I say, yes, Lord, fall on me. I don't care what people think. You know, I remember when I finally released. When people release, they get more excited than sometimes they should, you know. And I did. I did that. I broke loose, you know. I broke loose, and I just started screaming, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And everyone's like looking at me, you know. I went, oh, my gosh, what's going on over there? But I didn't care. I released. You know what happened when I released? The Holy Ghost broke open. He fell on me. And I danced around that church. Why? Because I finally broke free of what other people thought. So one, doubt. Two, you don't seek. Three, a bad lifestyle. Four, the fear of others. Five, I'm going to reiterate something from this morning. A lack of praise. When you come before God, bring Him an offering of praise from your heart. Bring Him the sacrifice of praise. Lay it before His throne. glorify the Father. Praise the Son for the work. Praise the Holy Ghost for the infilling. Give Him glory. The Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. Many believers will come and say, fill me. Man, it didn't come today. Man. And they don't praise the Lord. When you feel the unction, the anointing, you begin to weep, you begin to feel that worship, it's time to open your mouth and let the Holy Ghost fill your mouth with praise. When the tears begin to flow and the heart begins to break and the hands begin to shake and the heart just trembles before the power of the Almighty God, at that moment, open your mouth and praise the Lord and praise Him, because from your heart, you're going to enter into worship. Worship, and from worship, you're going to receive this baptism. Praise Him. Let that praise flow. Don't block it up. You've got to get over the fear of people, because sometimes you might speak out loud. And sometimes the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, I want to hear it. Sometimes He wants everybody else to hear it. You know, the Holy Ghost tests us. He tests us. Some of you are being tested right now. Because the gift of the Holy Ghost is so you might work for God. And one man shared with me, he's all, I don't know if it was the Lord or not. He said, but the Lord told me to witness to this young guy. And I did it. It was a test. Because the Holy Ghost falls on people willing to witness, to share. God's checking our willingness. And sometimes when the Spirit's moving, if we're not willing to praise, why feel? If we're not willing to seek, why feel? Amen? We wouldn't pay someone who didn't do the job we were paying them for. Amen? If I paid you to vacuum these carpets and you did not vacuum them, I will not pay you. It's wrong to pay you for something you don't do. A laborer is worthy of his hire, and the lazy man, he needs to find somewhere else to beg. Amen? So why do you think the Holy Ghost is going to fill you when you don't put in the effort to receive? You don't put in the work. Listen, the Holy Ghost has a payday for you. Be not weary, for in due season you will reap. Don't give up because the fire hasn't fallen yet. Don't quit because things are difficult. Don't stop seeking because you haven't received. Don't stop praising because the fire hasn't descended. But keep going. Keep seeking. Get rid of the doubt and get rid of the fear of others and praise the Lord. Paul asked him, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received it? I want you to note two things. One, they had not even heard about it. Two, these are not Jewish people. They're up in the upper coast of Ephesus. They're Ephesians. And yet, here they are, and they're receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want you to note that Paul seen and realized the importance, that he thought it was so important, that he asked him, have you received? Have you received it? Paul is basically finishing his second or third missionary journey at this time. This is later in Paul's life, and he's still preaching about the Holy Ghost. Ephesians is a prison epistle. He's in prison when he writes it, getting ready to face his own death. And he says to the Ephesian church, Be ye filled with the Spirit. He says, don't offend or grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, you are sealed by the Spirit. How important do you believe, church? How important is it to you that you be filled? If you don't believe it's important, you might as well rip it out of your Bible because it's pointless to you. I said it's pointless to you. You might as well rip it out.